What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly on this New Year's Eve. One more night. I guess it'll be two more nights, probably. I think Matt's probably back on Thursday night. I think the Musial Awards the Musial Awards airing tomorrow. I think that's maybe the case sometime during the day tomorrow. Maybe the Jack Buck Awards. Maybe it's the Jack Buck Awards. Had those confused. The Musi Awards are airing on TV, though, soon. So I think that's what I was thinking about. So the Jack Buck Awards, I think, will air tomorrow. And lots of good stuff, obviously. Plenty of football, if that is your thing. And that starts tonight, as a matter of fact. Boise State, Penn State, probably just getting underway, I think. It's a 7 o'clock start tonight, as far as the college football playoff is concerned. And then the other three games are tomorrow. Talked a lot about Mizzou the last couple of nights, but had a chance when I visited with Frank Cusimano earlier today, which we'll hear coming up on the other side of the break. We talked a lot about Mizzou. Obviously, Frank Cusimano has been covering sports in this town for a long time, so we've seen a lot of Mizzou, and he's seen a lot of the ups and downs that a lot of Mizzou fans have endured over the years. And he had some really high praise for what is going on right now at Mizzou. That'll be my little teaser there for that. So it was kind of cool to talk with him about that. The Blues just finished off the Blackhawks, by the way. That was a 6-2 final as the Blues go to 3-0 in Winter Classic games all time now. So, of course, they won the game here in St. Louis in 2017, I think it was, and then 2022 in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and they win this one here at Wrigley Field in fine fashion, 6-2. Fowler scores twice, including the first goal of the game, which came on his 1,000th game in the NHL. That is pretty sweet, pretty cool milestone there. Dylan Holloway gets another goal. So in all, I think it was five different players score the six goals for the Blues. So good all-around game, good all-around win for them, and a good way to finish off the 2024 calendar year. And again, they've got a home-heavy schedule coming up in January. So I think we're going to see – you have the chance to see a lot of good from the Blues if they can fix that home record. They are a couple of games under at home this year at Enterprise Center, but the opportunity to kind of flip that around and then – put themselves in better position to get into the playoff picture. But I think continued success for Mizzou is on the horizon. I expect continued success or maybe more success for St. Louis University on the horizon as far as the basketball is concerned. I mentioned last night SIUE and Lindenwood, they get together this weekend, and I think both of those institutions are on the rise as far as athletic programs go. We've already seen a good fall from Lindenwood this year, but they'll be continuing and then ultimately playing their final year in transition to Division I. So they'll be fully there in the 25-26 season. And that rivalry between SIUE and Lindenwood is a good one. It's going to be an even better one. I think it's going to be a healthy rivalry and a fun rivalry because you've got folks from both sides going to the games either way. As I sit across from a Lindenwood alum right here in Kyle Sixta, who's running things for us, and there's a whole bunch of folks that are in and around that program that I know and that I've dealt with. And so I think that's just going to be great. So I expect that coming from 2025. I think I've told you pretty much what I believe you can expect from the Cardinals in 2025. And it's honestly a lot more of what we saw in 2024 for now, a couple of years, I think. And then that probably, hopefully, is on the upswing. I don't know as much what to expect from St. Louis City in 2025. I do kind of think that if there's not more success, then you start looking elsewhere than just they've obviously replaced a head coach already, replaced a permanent head coach. Now they've replaced an interim head coach. But I think if for some reason it does go south, right, then you have to look a little higher. Maybe you have to look at Lutz and the system that Lutz runs as the sporting director. But again, that's getting way ahead. So I don't know yet kind of what that looks like and what 2025 looks like in terms of St. Louis City. So that remains to be seen, and that's a little ways off. Boy, I hope 2025, I think there's a chance 2025 could be the first ever Division I NCAA tournament for SIUE. It could get there. It could be that. I think this team that the Cougars have, that I spend a lot of time around, obviously, and that I'm biased, but I do believe that it's as good as they've had a full, complete team. Even over the last couple of years, they won 19 games 2 years ago, 17 games last year. But I think that this team has the chance to be just that full-on complete team. And we'll see what they do. The conference season is early going. But like we were talking with Stu Durando tonight, and we were talking some Mizzou basketball a couple of nights ago, it feels like you can get those wins, and you set yourself up, obviously, for the conference tournament by doing better during the regular season. You do better in the regular season by getting the road wins. It feels like those can come this year for SIUE. So I am looking forward to that and looking forward to being around and there for all of that. And that gets underway, as I said, Thursday, Western Illinois at SIUE. So come out to First Community Arena in Edwardsville. I don't mind providing the shameless plug. And then on Saturday, it's SIUE and Lindenwood coming up at First Community Arena as well. We've got Frank Cusimano to visit with. He and I had a chance to chat earlier today, so we're going to do that coming up in just a few minutes, about 7:20 or so. And then I'd love to hear from you. If you want to get in tonight, I would love to hear from you. It's 314-436-7900. I would love to hear what you think 2025 has in store. So if we're sitting here on New Year's Eve in 2025, December 31st, 2025, what are we talking about? What are we looking back on and celebrating or remembering, rejoicing in, honoring, all of those things? What are we talking about 1 year from tonight? Are we talking about a miraculous run by the Blues down the stretch here in 2025? Are we talking about a Mizzou college football playoff appearance? I don't think that's out of the question that Mizzou could be one of those 12 teams. I think a lot of us thought that this year might be the year for that. Had there been a 12-team playoff last year, they would have been part of it. So are we talking about that? Are we looking ahead to a semifinal game that includes the Mizzou Tigers? Maybe. So what are we looking at? What are we talking about if we're sitting here on December 31st, 2025? That's what I want to know from you. And we can do that coming up in the latter half of this hour. Again, 314-436-7900 for that. We'll get to Frank Cusimano, though, first, and we'll hear kind of what he thought. We talked about a whole bunch of things. Again, we talked about Mizzou. We started it with Mizzou, but I asked him, in fact, I asked him that very question. I asked him what he thought we would be looking back on from 2025. And we talked about the Blues, we talked about the Cardinals, so we kind of touched on a number of things. And this is a guy that has been covering sports in St. Louis for more than 30 years and has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in so many programs. He talked a lot about SLU, as a matter of fact. He's a huge fan of what SLU is doing, what Josh Schertz is doing at St. Louis, and what they have the opportunity to do there at St. Louis. So we touched on that as well. So we'll take a break here. On the other side of the break, we'll visit with Frank Cusimano, the sports director at Five on Your Side, and he's been there for a long time, so he's got some great things to talk about. As we continue here on New Year's Eve, it's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. Frank Cusimano on the other side of the break. Joe Pot back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight. And I'm pleased to have with us here the great Frank Cusimano. Easy for me to say. Frank Cusimano from Five on Your Side. Frank, Happy New Year, and I really appreciate you doing this tonight.
Joe, great to be with you. It's an honor to be on the Mighty Mox all the time.
So as we get started here, I want to look back to yesterday. Talked plenty of my guest last night, but want to talk with you just about the finish to the Mizzou football season, because you can say what you will about expectations and maybe where you thought they were going to be at the end of the year, but the point is that the way it finishes, they win a bowl game, they get their 10th win, it's the 8th time in program history, and it's not often you get back-to-back 10-win seasons, and it really feels like Eli Drinkwitz has this moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you think about it, because there's still a lot of Eli Drinkwitz doubters in our area. But I'm telling you, what this guy's done, and not just coaching, but going to Jefferson City, getting that name, image, and likeness, you know, legislature behind him, making it available for players who actually sign on the dotted line in our state to get paid while they're in high school, to land 5-star players and the best players in the state kind of convincingly. That's pretty serious stuff. And I want to give you a stat. I bet you don't even have this, Joe, as great as you are. A list of SEC coaches with back-to-back 10-win seasons in history: Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, Brian Kelly, Gary Pinkel, Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, Steve Spurrier, and Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I sent that to Coach last night. He goes, wow, I had no idea. So he's done some incredible things. They're not in the college football playoff yet, so nobody's spiking the ball. But I like the fact that this guy's our coach and will be for a long time.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really do. And I just felt like it was a really good ending to a season that at times maybe felt a little disappointing, of course, after A&M and after Alabama. But to finish off with 3 straight wins the way they did and come away with this, and you feel great, certainly, for a guy like Brady Cook.
Yeah, I spend my Sundays with Brady during the season. He's on Sports Plus every Sunday. And we got lucky. I mean, I knew he was going to be a good player. I didn't realize what an incredible kid he is. And, you know, look, you can make a case for Chase Daniel and for Phil Bradley being better quarterbacks. But I don't think you can say any quarterback displayed more heart in his career than this kid. I mean, look, have you ever seen an athlete, Joe, actually leave the field, go to a hospital, and come back and win the game? I've never heard of something like that.
I was at that game.
And find out earlier in the week, Joe, that he actually played the South Carolina game with still a broken bone in his wrist. And he threw dimes, too. I mean, he actually played really well in that game. So this kid is going to be, you know, remembered as one of the most courageous athletes in the history of the University of Missouri.
Yep, a true Tiger, no question. That is for sure. Frank Cusimano is with us here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. And Frank, as we have arrived at New Year's Eve, 2024 was interesting in St. Louis sports. We saw, you know, a second straight lackluster season from the Cardinals, and we saw a ton of empty seats at Busch Stadium at the end of that year, which is not something that we're used to. And we're obviously moving into sort of a different era in Cardinals baseball now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, Joe. Like, in my 32 years of off seasons of covering the Cardinals, I've never had an off season where I'm going to go into the season thinking there's really not a chance for them to win. Now, I guess there's a scenario that if you were to catch lightning in a bottle with Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker and maybe Quinn Matthews and Graceffo, if all these young players at the same time accelerate the maturation curve and just are special right away, I guess you could win the Central. But you're not going to win the National League, and you likely won't make the postseason. It's just a weird time. I'm not saying it's wrong for what they're doing. It's just strange for we people like you and I who've been covering this team for decades.
Yeah, and I have almost parroted your exact words, because that's what I said. It's going to take maybe 3 or 4 of these young guys having a great season all at once, and then maybe you get to 90 wins and you either win the Central, perhaps get a wild card. But that is, I think, and I think that's what it looks like for the next few years, to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they have the right brass in charge with Heim Bloom moving ahead. And I think they've done some great moves in their minor leagues and, you know, beefing up the staff. And the fact that, you know, Joe, for the first time in a long time, Cardinals get the draft early. I mean, the reason the Cubs had a nice little run is because they finished last for a long time. The reason the Astros have had this great run, they finished last for a long time. When you're picking, you know, 1 through 8 in the draft every year, you're probably going to get better quicker.
And the good thing is, unlike the Cubs and Astros, we're not looking at a full tank job here. We're not looking at a complete teardown. I think you're just going to see a lot more of what 2024 looked like, you know, 85, 86 wins.
Yes. Well, let's hope that's the case.
Right.
But when you try to think that they have a chance and you look at the first three hitters in the Dodger lineup, and you look at the Braves and all that electric talent, and you see the Padres and all those athletes, you think, boy, you know, best case scenario right now is let's be the sixth best team in the National League.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Frank Cusumano's with us here on the Graybar Sports Open line. And Frank, the Blues have made 2 coaching changes in the course of a year. Now they've got their guy in Jim Montgomery, who's in for 5 years, at least the contract's for 5 years. Do you feel like they are on the right track now?
Yeah, I do. And anytime you get a chance to hire, like, arguably the most successful coach in the league for the last 3 years in terms of winning percentage, and a guy who just breathes positivity. I mean, everybody I talk to in that locker room, all they talk about is how positive he is. I just love it. Plus, he's a great tactician. He's won as a player. He's won as a college coach. He's won big time in the NHL with his winning percentage. Yeah, I like everything about him.
Yeah, everything oozes hockey out of Jim Montgomery. It's just when you listen to him talk, even, I have enjoyed it very much, and I do feel like the Blues hopefully on the right track here. If we were to project ahead, look ahead, and you and I did this on New Year's Eve 2025, what do you think we're talking about at that point? What is going to stand out? What do you expect to be a big story in St. Louis in 2025?
Couple things. I think that Mizzou is going to be looking at another double-digit win season to make it 3 in a row. And I think we're going to be talking about Mizzou in the NCAA tournament in basketball. And I think we're going to be saying some really nice things about SLU basketball. I don't know if you had a chance to watch today, but I have a, you know, a weird obsession. I can't miss a minute of SLU basketball, and I love listening to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin, but that was a tremendous game. This was the team we envisioned. They have high-end players. 24 points in the first half by Jimerson. Avila had 19. Swope was really good. They have 3 big-time players. If they can figure out Kellen Thames' health, this guy's a great coach. I'm really optimistic and bullish about SLU's future moving forward in the Atlantic 10 this season. And in terms of like City FC, Cardinals, and Blues, I think the Blues have the best chance to be really good, you know, the quickest period of time.
It's going to be interesting, that is for sure. Frank, I really appreciate it, as I said, you catching up with us and certainly on short notice. Have a great New Year. I hope the rest of the holiday season is great to you and your family.
Joe, great to be with you. Always a pleasure. Continued success on Camo X and at SIU Edwardsville.
Certainly appreciate it. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much. That is Frank Cusumano from 5 on Your Side. We're coming back here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on Camo X. Back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line on New Year's Eve. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. He is back, as I said. I believe on Thursday you'll have Matt Pauly back in here. But lines are open, so if you want to get in, please do 314-436-7900. And specifically with what you think we'd be talking about a year from now. So if we were sitting here on December 31st of 2025... what are we reminiscing about or rejoicing about or talking about next year? As you heard from Frank Cusumano, he thought that maybe he said we're talking about another double-digit football season, double-digit win season for Mizzou. I said would that be college football playoffs? That's I said that before before that segment. So does that is that what's on that list? Are we talking about a college football playoff appearance for the Missouri Tigers? Are we talking about, again, a miracle run from the Blues? It doesn't have to be a miracle run. A good run from the Blues to get them back into the postseason. Anything on the table. And if it's just something that you're dreaming that we'd be talking about in 2025, in December of 2025, that's fine, too. I'll take that. You can let me know what you hope we're sitting here talking about in 2025. I'm looking forward to it. I do think there is a lot of good things. I think there's probably more stability on the horizon. We already mentioned St. Louis City in, you know, essentially making their coaching changes from John, well, first from Bradley Carnell to John Hackworth, and now replacing John Hackworth. Also, we didn't mention, but we should have mentioned, and I did mention it when I was talking to Frank, that the Blues have made essentially two coaching changes in the course of a year. Because they fired Craig Berube last year and then hired Drew Bannister on an interim basis, kept Drew Bannister, signed him to a permanent contract, only to then replace him now with Jim Montgomery when he became available. So they've made two coaching changes. You have to expect more stability out of the Blues. There's no reason not to expect stability out of the Cardinals, specifically when it comes to the manager spot, right? We know if they weren't going to replace Oliver Marmol last year, they're not going to replace him now when the expectations are that this is a team that is going to be fine. They're not in dire situation, but this is a team that, for one thing, needs to have stability because they're going to be trying to bring along some of these younger players. Kyle Sixta is behind the board for us here, and we were chatting during the break. And we were talking about the sheer need to find out what you have in some of these players, and less so in the McGreevies and Graceffos, right? They're really young. They've had a little taste of the majors. But 100%, you owe it to your team and to these players, specifically when you're talking about Jordan Walker, specifically when you're talking about Nolan Gorman. I think probably to some extent, Ivan Herrera. I'm not sold that Ivan Herrera is going to be your number one catcher. I know when we were talking to Jeff Jones that he said that. I wonder sometimes if the offensive upside isn't better for Páez than the defensive upside is for Ivan Herrera. And that's really where we're at. Because I think that Páez, it feels to me like he can get closer to where Ivan Herrera is. But I don't know. And I don't know where that thought is. But even to some extent, a Victor Scott. You want to figure out where Victor Scott II is at. Thomas Tejesi. Do you see J.J. Weatherholt this year? There's a lot of those things that you need to figure out, and that, I think, requires the stability of leaving the coaching staff, the manager, where it is, and so that's fully what I expect. So I think that on that level, from those franchises, from the organizations, you should see a lot more stability. The Billikens, too, they made a coaching change in this last calendar year, obviously, with Josh Schertz taking over for the Billikens. So you'll have stability there. Josh Schertz is not going anywhere at this point in time. Now, that is unless he has some crazy run and then he gets picked by somebody else to make a move up, to make a promotion, to take a promotion. I guess that could always happen. But I think basically you're expecting there's going to be a lot more stability. And so let's see then if that translates, and maybe not in 25, but let's see if that translates ultimately into a lot more success on the field, on the court, those kind of things. Because I think that's what the Cardinals want it to be. And we don't know yet how far down the line. That's what St. Louis expects it to be. St. Louis University expects it to be. That's what St. Louis City expects it to be. That's what the St. Louis Blues expect it to be. That these are all going to be this stability, that the changes that have been made then ultimately lead to more success in the realm of play, in the competitive play. That is what all of these are supposed to do. So let's see if that's the case. We know it'll be much more stable than it was certainly in 2024. Probably not. I can't think of another year, certainly recently in St. Louis, that we had that much turnover from a coaching standpoint. That when you look at all of the teams and or schools that have made coaching changes, that there is there was that much turnover all at once. So we know that's going to be something different. So what do you expect out of 2025? I'd love to hear from you if you have an idea, or if, again, if you have a dream of what you'd like to, you'd see what it just, hey, this is a pipe dream, but I hope that on December 31st, we are talking about whatever. It doesn't have to be realistic. I'm cool with that. That's totally fine. You can also hit me on X, on Twitter, if you want. I'm Joe_Pot. So you can hit me there and I can talk about it there. So I don't think that it's been, it hasn't been a terrible sports year. And when you think about Mizzou and the success they've had in back-to-back years, that's the most consistent right now. Obviously, the Cardinals in 24 were better off than we were talking about the Cardinals on New Year's Eve in 2023. I wasn't sitting in this seat in 2023. Might have been a weekend night. But let's see, what is it? It's a Tuesday night, so it would have been a Sunday night last year because of the new year, because of the leap year. So it would have been a Sunday night last year. So nobody was sitting here in 2024 talking about what the sports look like. But they were, obviously, we were recapping. Everybody was recapping as we got to the end of December and into January about what that season looked like. So we certainly were in for a much better baseball season. I think a lot of us thought it could be an even better baseball season, and it turned out to be than it turned out to be. And by the way, if you were listening to Kevin Wheeler and I, and we were chatting a little bit during the DGS, during the 4 o'clock hour, right before that, he was kind of teasing what they've got to come, I think tomorrow, on the Gas House Gang. They talked a lot. They've already put that aside. They've already recorded that. And he shared a little bit of that, of what he and Bernie and Matt Pauly and Tom Ackerman all thought about this 2024 season, what it meant, and really what to take from 2024 as they're going into 2025. They talked about a lot of sports, but they talked specifically a lot about the Cardinals and what that 2024 season looked like and what it will ultimately mean in the bigger picture. So that's kind of cool, and I would invite you to tune in and check that out tomorrow, certainly on all the social media channels, all the Camo X Sports social media channels. They'll have the Gas House Gang, and they're all four together for that. So that's cool. We haven't gotten any post game sound yet. We will be able to share some post game sound if we get some post game sound from the Blues, that is, here relatively soon. But I've been watching for that, and we don't have it yet. The Blues win the Winter Classic today, 6-2, as they beat up on the Blackhawks. And again, the really cool thing I think about what the Blues did today is they just kind of spread it around. Now, the Blackhawks are not very good. The Blackhawks, the Blues are coming in. They came in right at 500. The Blackhawks, meanwhile, were coming in well below that. They were at 12-23 coming into the game. But the Blues had five different players score their six goals. They win it 6-2. Cam Fowler scores to start it. Cam Fowler scored at the end of the second period as well. But they also get goals from Texier, from Holloway, from Falk, and from Kyrou in this one. Jordan Binnington made 28 saves. So all around good game there. And then the Blues will come home for a lot of games at Enterprise Center coming up in January. Just a quick look ahead at what the Blues have to come. They'll be back home on Friday. They've got the Senators in town on Friday. Then they'll go to the Blue Jackets. They'll go to Minnesota on Saturday and Tuesday. Then they're back home for four straight games, including two in a row against the Calgary Flames. But they've got the Ducks in there. They've got the Blue Jackets again. So it's a really good opportunity right now for the Blues to make up that home record and kind of get themselves in a better position when it comes to the playoff picture. Let's take a break here. We've got just another segment to go, but I'd really like to hear from you. 314-436-7900 on what your wishes for, your hopes are, what your expectations are for 2025 in St. Louis sports. And you can do it on Twitter if you'd like. But give us a call if you're around. 314-436-7900. One more segment here on the Graybar Sports Open Line, New Year's Eve edition. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break, and we're coming back on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley here on this New Year's Eve as the Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues here. One final segment, and again, I would love to hear from you because we do not have a guest for this last segment. 314-436-7900. You could be our guest for this last segment here of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. What are you hoping for a 2025 in St. Louis sports? I'm interested. I'm following to see because I have heard and have seen some of the possible WNBA expansion talks. They've talked about that being, it has come up, and Jason Tatum is rumored to be involved, which I think would be a necessity to have someone like that involved to make it a reality. I think obviously without anything, it's going to be tough to bring another sports, a professional sports franchise to St. Louis. I would love to be considered if the NBA was expanding, but I don't believe that St. Louis, I'm not sure St. Louis would support an NBA franchise. And I don't think that that's necessarily a knock on St. Louis. I think that probably the fan base could support. I wonder if the corporate base could support the NBA. That's really my hesitation or trepidation there when it comes to the NBA, because they rely a lot on the corporate dollars. And I don't know if they would consider Enterprise Center to be up to snuff, to be quite honest. Building opened in 1994, so maybe 1995. It was dedicated in 94, I think. So 95 might have been the first season, or 94, 95. Whatever. It's 30 years old. That's where you're at when you talk about Enterprise Center. And it's not that the building is crumbling, but that's never the case, usually, when you're talking about replacing a stadium. That was not necessarily the case with Bush 2, though it was crumbling to some extent, you know, underneath some of the things you don't see. I think a lot of that has been rectified, and they've done great things to Enterprise Center, and they have brought it up to speed and brought it back to life and, in fact, breathe new life into Enterprise Center. And that's what helps them attract, to keep things like the Missouri Valley Conference, to attract things like the NCAA Wrestling Championship, to ultimately attract things like first and second round of the NCAA Basketball Championships. And they have said, and they have not been, they've not beat around the bush. They've been precise in that, hey, we have to improve certain things like some of the infrastructure within the building, like some of the connectivity and the internet networking. There needs to be some more fan spaces like they've done with the Budweiser side, all of those things. But it still is a 30-year-old building that is not the same as a brand new building, which is, I think, what the NBA would be asking for and would ultimately want. It's a great building, though. And I think so maybe the WNBA is more realistic in that regard. So I would love for that to be the case. If they were talking about bringing another professional sports franchise to St. Louis and it's the WNBA, I think that would be outstanding. But I think it would have to come with a Jason Tatum or someone like that being involved to be realistic. And I have no idea how far that has even, I don't know how far that's gone. I don't know if there's been any talks. I've just seen some sort of preliminary news that that might be something that they are thinking of and that he is thinking about and wanting to be involved in. And it makes perfect sense that he would want to be involved in another sports franchise coming here to St. Louis, but that he would specifically want to be involved in a WNBA franchise coming to St. Louis. And I mean, it seems like it's the best time to get right on that train, right? I mean, I don't know that the hype or the popularity has been higher at any point than it is right now, or that it will be over the next couple of years. I think that if you have the chance to jump on that, you do it. So let's see where that goes. And maybe that's something that develops in 2025, that's something that is being considered. I've completely neglected the Battle Hawks, not on purpose, but the Battle Hawks are another story, obviously, that has been absolutely great for the city of St. Louis and for the sports fan in St. Louis, the football fan in St. Louis. And the Dome has redone its turf. The Dome has redone the lighting inside the building, so they are making changes to make it a more fan-friendly and player-friendly facility. Again, you're talking about a facility that is 30 years old, and let's even go farther, because the design for the facility was essentially for the football Cardinals, who left St. Louis after the 1987 season. But that stadium that sits in North downtown, in North St. Louis, is basically the design for what was going to be, for what they wanted to use to keep the Cardinals in St. Louis. That was the planned replacement. Obviously, they had upgraded. I'm sure there were some changes, but that's basically the design. So when it opened in 1995 for the St. Louis Rams, it was already sort of outdated. It was already, not cutting edge, which then, of course, that's what the lease said and then all that, But it is nice to see that they have made some changes there to make it a more fan-friendly place for the St. Louis Battlehawks. So certainly we can include that. And if that is on your wish list of something that you want to be talking about or you hope that we're talking about on New Year's Eve in 2025, then let me know that too. 314-436-7900. And you can get in and tell me what you hope we're talking about on New Year's Eve 2025. In the last few minutes that we have here of 2024, I would love to talk to you. You can also hit me up on X. We are going to hopefully be able to share some Blues postgame, but they still haven't gotten that out. And I don't know if they will, only because it is it's a lot different. It's not what they're used to, as far as I'm sure even where where they're being held, where the postgame pressers are being held. I don't know if they're doing all the players at the podium or if they're doing the players in the. I would imagine they're doing it at the podium, knowing the clubhouse situation at Wrigley Field, knowing the notoriously small and hard to get to clubhouses at Wrigley Field. They're probably doing those at the podium. So that alone makes it different that they might not have a chance to get that out. So we might not have a chance to get you the postgame audio. I would love to share some of that and let you hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery as he wraps up the Winter Classic, but I don't know that that's necessarily possible here in the next about 4 minutes that we have left here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. But I can hear from you if you have a phone call or if you want to hit me up on X, please do that as well. It's Joe_Pott, and I would love to chat about that. Right now, the second quarter now in the Fiesta Bowl, 14-7 Penn State. So it's not a bad game there between Penn State and Boise State. I'm looking forward to, I said this afternoon, I'm looking forward to the Oregon-Ohio State game, but I'm very much not an Ohio State fan. I don't really like Ohio State. Haven't sent this. This goes back to my having gone to college at another Ohio university, and so many people that went to that university with me saying things like we this and we that when they're talking about the Buckeyes. And they're just, I think it was just because I'm sure it would be like coming here and there's a whole lot of people that are big Mizzou fans, and that's the flagship institution of the state. And I know Ohio State is, but it just made me not like Ohio State. So I'm looking forward to that game only because I want to see Oregon win for a second time over Ohio State this year. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Notre Dame is intriguing to me only because it looked at one point like, man, it could be a disastrous year for the Fighting Irish when they lost to Northern Illinois earlier this year. Now, it might have ultimately also been a good thing for Northern Illinois because it might be spurring Northern Illinois to a jump to a bigger, better conference. We'll see. Last couple of minutes here. Big Al's on the line. Big Al, Happy New Year.
You too, buddy. I want to say that next year, I hope the Cardinals and the media and our, right, everything gets squared up to where we can be competitive and DeWitt decides to go all in maybe, and then who knows what happens down the road with his family. Are they going to own it? Probably, I would say, why would you sell it? But, you hear that stuff. But just get our team straightened out. We love them in the Blues. You just can't say enough about that ownership, spending to the cap, and they don't have DeWitt money. And the Blues are just hard-working, And I'm really looking forward to their future. And I know the Cardinals will get it straightened out because people like me put pressure on them to get their stuff straight. So happy new year. And I just want to tell you one more thing. I beat stage 4 cancer, buddy. Went to Cabo, got immunotherapy. I was stage 4 and I'm cancer free. Thank you.
Hey, man,
God.
That's the best news.
You. Yeah, thank you so much. And Chaser, you're going to beat it just like me, bro.
Man, we appreciate it, Big Al. Happy New Year. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for sharing that. That's great news to hear from him. And he passes on the good wishes to Kelly Chase as well. Certainly, we share that sentiment that he is going to beat this for the second time. It is interesting. He said, you know, he made a comment there. He's put pressure on the Cardinals, fans like him. For the first time in a long time, it certainly feels like the pressure is there. And we saw the empty seats, and we saw them earlier in the season. It wasn't just when school started and when September hit. It was earlier in the season. So, as I've said before, I fully support whatever you choose to do with your money, if that is to go to games, to not go to games, if that is your way of protesting, and maybe that will be as big of a motivator as I feel like it's the biggest motivator. Let's see if that's the case. But I think Big Al also believes that changes and the things that the Cardinals have in mind are going to be successful for the team, and we certainly all hope that's the case, right? Fairly competitive maybe in 25, and then maybe we'll see what 26 has in store. I hope it's a very happy new year. I hope it's a safe New Year's Eve for everybody tonight. Enjoy it. Hope you've got family and friends around. Kyle Sixta putting it all together behind the board tonight. My thanks to you. Hope it's a great new year for you, Kyle, and for everybody here at KMOX. I'll be back on Friday morning and talk to you on Total Information AM. Happy to sit in for Matt Pauly this week. I'm Joe Pott. Keep it here. Happy New Year from KMOX.